Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking Doc.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
This your man, Mastermind of Hell, Razor.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
I've been covering this man's music and his content and his film work for well over 20 years now. A lot of big things have happened with him in the last couple years, especially this year. You know, we're going to bring him on right now from the Holding Court podcast, Big Court himself. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, man. And you know, I see you really are gaining ground with the podcast. I remember you first telling me about it and your visions for it. Have you, you know what I'm saying, reached some of those goals that you intended to reach?
Yeah, actually, man, it's been a blessing. You know, I've been having fun with it thus far. You know, when I first started, I really didn't know what this was. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You just think that you're going to sit down and do some content, record a couple of videos, upload to YouTube, and there it is, you know. But, it's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of, you know, I kind of somewhat reinvented myself at this juncture of my career, you know. So it still allows me to stay in, you know, in tune with the culture and I'm able to, you know, the best thing about it is being able to talk to some of the guys that I, you know, grew up on and really looked up to and to be considered a peer, you know, and an equal in this business. You know, that's really that's the dope thing about it. And, you know, it's gratifying as well that when I travel, no matter where I go, like people, you know, I say 6 times out of 10, somebody recognizes me, man, because the thing about the internet is that reach, you know, the reach is crazy. Like, so many people see you, and when they come up and they say, hey, man, you know, I really love how you represent the culture, then, you know, it's all worth it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say this, you know what I'm saying, also, congratulations, man. You inked a deal with Revolt, which is one of the biggest networks out there. They obviously have been paying attention to what you're doing. You know, how does that make you feel? And tell us about how that all came together.
Man, you know, like I said, it's a blessing. Yeah, you know, just really being consistent, brother. You know, just, you know, putting content out there that resonates with the people, resonates with the culture. And I had my eye, you know, as I learned this podcast game, you know, a lot of times we put focus on the visual because my show is a visual show. But, you know, a lot of times we don't pay attention to the audio side, you know, which is a podcast, what a podcast is, right? And you know, I'm glad that I was building my uploads, well, my downloads, but building up my fan base for the audio side. So, you know, I just wanted to really provide myself with the opportunity to really, you know, monetize the asset being the show in several different ways. So Revolt was, you know, they you know, they were in a position to help me do that, you know. So, yeah, man, you know, I was just consistent with it. And I'm going to tell you something, man, it's about timing because I actually saw the head guy at Revolt. He's the third person under Puffy. I actually saw him in Atlanta one time, and I didn't really say anything to him because it wasn't the time, you know what I'm saying? Like, timing is everything. You just got to wait your turn. And what happened is he started following me on IG, and he was seeing what I was doing, and it just, you know, it just happened like that. So he reached out to me, and, you know, the dots got connected. As a matter of fact, you know, shout out to Teslin Figaro and shout out to Dame over there with Big Jai because they really helped grease the wheels, you know what I mean? Like, once I got on their radar, those two people, you know, really kind of helped seal it by, you know, co-signing me and letting them know that, hey, y'all need to really check this dude out. So shout out to them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a huge step for the underground, too, because you bring in a lot of underground culture as well. Of course, mm-hmm. you got the big guests, you know what I'm saying, but you also got that formula where you you pay homage to the guys that's still coming up and stuff, or the guys that people maybe forgot about, you know. So that's mm-hmm. that's a plus, man, as well. So the Revolt deal, this came about, and you know, what's next with it? Are you right now like on like TV syndication as well, or what's the deal?
No. So what my deal is with Revolt is really it's for fast channels, which are the apps. You know what I mean? Like
okay.
a lot of these networks are getting away from linear TV. You know what I mean? So they're going to the fast channels. So yeah, my deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, streaming. Yep. So my deal is the streaming on the fast channel and the audio side of it. So, you know, being able to get reads, being able to get advertisement sponsorship on the audio side. I was never able to do that before because, you know, you kind of have to have you got to be situated a little bit different with that. You have to kind of have that infrastructure and that team and that sales team to go out and get you that. You know, which I didn't have. So, but yeah, you know, you're going to see me all over. And I was already on Tubi with it. You know what I mean? So you'll see me on, on Vizio. It'll be on Vizio, Freevee, Vudu, a couple other, wherever Revolt you see, wherever they have their channel at.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Another thing I saw too, you know, you've been having, a lot of noise being generated from a few interviews. You did a dope interview with Rhythm D.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to him. One of the best, I think one of the most underrated producers of all time. And then
absolutely.
Also Lazy Bone. You know, it was kind of funny. That same week, I think all these bigger hip-hop media platforms and stuff, they ran stories on your podcast, man, and the irony of that is they did the same week they did a bunch of stories on a King T interview I did. So it was dope as hell to see us
nice.
Both get some props
yeah.
out there. How do you feel about
yeah.
that though? I got one of the most quoted podcasts, you know, over the
mm-hmm.
last, you know, 12 years or so, but.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a blessing and a curse. I'll explain why. For me, it's like you know, they'll go through and find the most controversial stuff, and just pick what they want. But then they'll kind of sleep on, you know, what we've done, you know what I mean, over the years, how we've contributed, you know.
Right.
I'm not seeing that with you, and I'm very happy for that because they're actually giving you your flowers right now. How does that make you feel, you know what I'm saying, to know that you've done all this work and it's starting to really pay off?
You know, well, for one, congratulations to you, too, brother, you know, for your content
you.
Getting out there and people recognizing it as well, because it's not as easy as it looks. So, you know, congrats to you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man, you know, I appreciate it, dog. I'm grateful for everything that I've gotten thus far and that I'm blessed with and the opportunities. You know, it's all about perspective, you know what I'm saying? You know, I always tell myself it just depends on who's looking, right? Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, though, like I said, depending on who's looking, it may seem as if I'm in the cool crowd. It may seem as if, you know, damn, he's connected. He, you know, yeah, you know, the blog, some of the blogs pick up on him and they, no, I got to fight for every little thing, bro. I'm not in the cool crowd.
Everything.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not in the cliques and the cool cliques. Now, I have relationships and I know people and people respect me. But, you know, in terms of this media space, you know what I'm saying? You know, they do what they want to do. You know, you have some that do give you your props because, for instance, you know, I'll see someone like a Vlad or you know, namely, let me say Vlad, you know, which I like Vlad's content, but I'll see some of these other, him and a couple other people, they'll use, like, my thumbnails. They'll use elements from my content, but won't pick up my stories. It's the funny thing about it. Like, you know, they'll use my thumbnail, which you can tell that they're watching my channel. They're watching my content, but won't, you know, they won't pick up the sound bites for some reason. You know, it's like, okay, that don't make sense. So for me, my struggle is being recognized consistently, you know, and like you said, man, they like to pick up on the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? My show is not riddled with a bunch of controversial bullshit and mess, you know? So, I don't know that.
Show, brother.
Yeah. They, you know, I guess if it's not enough of that, you know what I mean? So a lot of times, you know, I don't get the big mentions and when I do, you know, I'm grateful for it, but you know, I think just not enough bullshit, probably, because that's what drives the needle in this social media shit. People love the bullshit that drives the algorithm, and that just ain't, you know, what I'm about.
Yeah, and that people are just clout chasers, man. Like, rest in peace to Big Pokey, man. You know, when he passed away, you know, he did, you know, what he loved doing, performing in front of people, but you know, people was just filming. And not giving the brother CPR, not trying to revive him. You know, that's a fucking epidemic we're seeing right now, too. A lot of people just thirsty with the cameras, you know.
That's real,
social
man.
Media
like, we're getting away.
They jump on that shit. You know,
we're getting away from, you know, people are getting away from being human. You know, everybody's living through the phone, you know. And to be very honest with you, that was... Like I was very cognizant of creating a platform. See, my thing is I wanted to make us look good as a culture, you know. I didn't want to lie, you know, we can still keep it, you know, authentic, but I wanted a safe place for the culture to come and be presented real and in a good way. See, I'm not into exploiting people, I'm not into embarrassing people, I'm not into doing all of that. That's why, you know, people like Ice-T come back to my show. He's come twice, and he's actually, you know, really endorsed my show and co-signed it and said, hey, you know, I don't do a bunch of shows. I get offered a bunch of money, but I go and do court show, you know. And I have so many celebrities and different people to reach out to me because, you know, that's my personality. That's just who I am. Like, I'm old school, so I know how to mind my business. You know, I mind my business online. I mind my business in real life. So, you know, if I know that it's something unflattering about a person or some gossip or some of their business then leaked out, it's not my business to try to bring that to the forefront. You know what I mean? We're here to talk about, you know, now if they bring it up, you know, even then, I'm still very respectful of that. You know what I'm saying? And I tread lightly, and I try.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to highlight the human experience, and I wanted it to be real. You know, but we don't have to. My thing is, that's cool. Whatever unflattering part of your life happened, or whatever, cool. We could talk about it, but let's talk about how you got through it. Let's talk about what you learned from it. Let's talk about, you know what I'm saying, the silver lining in that, you know, instead of just harping on it and then creating conflict with motherfuckers, asking people about certain people and you know, because this is the thing. At some point, you got to log off and live a real life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And one thing that I'm proud of is that, you know, I don't say anything about anyone on social media that I won't say to their face twice, you know, so, you know, because two mountains won't meet, but two men will. So, you know, you get, you know, people get on social media and they get to talking shit about people. Then when they run across them, it's a whole different energy, or they ducking and dodging. You know, I'm the same online as I am in real life, you know. So, you know, just people have to get back to having some integrity and some respect. And then I come from the generation where you got to pay for your words with your ass. So when you say something, you got to stand on that.
True.
You got to be willing to stand on that in real life.
Yeah, 100%. We interviewed, what's his name, man? I can't think of his name. Napoleon from the Outlaws. And there was a situation where him and his boys, they knew where Prodigy was staying in Vegas. And you know, they were gonna handle some business with him, but they decided Napoleon talked them out of doing it. We put a clip of it online, and it was like at 100,000 views in a week. But Napoleon hit us up, was like, "Hey man, the homies that was there with me that day," he didn't mention names, but he let's just say he said who they were affiliated with. And he was like, "Man, if you take that down," I took it down in a heartbeat, because I don't want to be that dude who gets somebody killed or arrested. Or,
that's right.
You know,
exactly.
we see that
exactly.
frequently. You know,
man,
so
listen,
you got to be careful.
You got to be careful. You got to be responsible. Like I say, man, listen, we can all call ourselves influencers, but at the end of the day, what are we influencing people to do? You know, and my thing is, you know, it's just being responsible and being real. To me, being real is sticking to the script. You know, we all know we can do dumb shit. All of us can crash out at any given moment. But being real is how long you can last in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
longevity.
And I've had a couple people. I've had a couple people do that with me as well. You know, call me, because sometimes the conversation gets good and it's organic. And you know, they'll say some shit. There's been times where, excuse me, even I may have went back and saw, you know, listened to the interview and watched it and been like, okay, you know what, I'm going to take that out. You know what I'm saying? And that, they don't even know I did it. Sometimes I save people from themselves, you know, and I know they don't mean anything by it, but it's like you got to do the thanking for everybody sometimes, because it might be like, okay, I know how he meant it, but I know how this could come off. You know what I mean? And I don't want to contribute to this escalating, because this is just social media and I'm not going to be around if this shit really go down. You know what I mean? But a lot of people, man, they'll sell their soul, man. They'll do anything for that click. You know, now clout and attention is the new drug, you know?
It is, man. And it's very unfortunate. I call it show out media. And, you know, the homie Mac J always called it trend chasing. But I want to go back a little bit. You know, Ice-T, a legend, and I know him co-signing Holden Court podcast got to mean a lot to you, because I remember, man, I don't even know if you remember this, but just years ago, I was scrolling down a timeline, and you posted a picture in your house of the power cover. You had a painting or something, so I know he's been a huge influence on you. What was that experience like?
Man, you know, that's like a dream come true, really. You know, it's like I turned into that 10-year-old kid again, you know, and being able to cultivate a relationship with Ice-T and him, you know, embrace me and ingratiate me and really look at me as fam. You know, it's funny because I tell my wife sometimes, even when Ice-T calls me, I'll just kind of be tripping down inside like, damn, Ice-T's calling me, you know what I mean? But no, bro, that was a blessing, and I really have a lot of respect and a lot of love for Ice. And I will always be grateful for that, because to be very honest with you, you know, as it pertains to, you know, my podcast, I mean, he really gave me a boost. I mean, him trusting me, you know, and coming on my show before it was even super popular, you know what I mean? And then, you know, being willing to stand up and say, yeah, nah, this my man, like, his shit, y'all need to fuck with it. I rock with his shit. Y'all need to, too. I mean, he literally came, before he came to L.A., he hit me up and was like, you know, Court, man, I'm coming out there to get my star. You know how Ice talk. You know, I'm coming to get my star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You know, I want to stop by your show. You know, we can do that thing one more time. You know, and I was like, nah, that was dope. So I'm like, man, he only came and he did my show. He did Big Boy, Big Boy's Neighborhood. I think he did, if I'm not mistaken, he may have done Sway. And then he did, what's the dude, the cat, the late night TV show dude, the big TV show. And so that's
Jimmy
it.
Kimmel,
you know,
maybe?
But he,
yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, it was Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. It was Jimmy Fallon. You're right, Jimmy Fallon. And so he went from holding court to Jimmy Fallon. You know what I'm saying? So just the fact that, yeah, I'll always be grateful for that. But, yeah, man, like I said, that's a dream come true when you can have the respect of the people you idled as a kid, and they consider you contemporaries, you know what I'm saying? And you're able to work with them, you're able to do other things with them. You know, Ice is somebody who I can get game from. You know, I can call him anytime, get some advice or whatever. Matter of fact, his daughter and his artist that he used to have, Gripster, which his daughter is managing, they just came to the show as well. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
she's going to be a great one, too. She's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, so I consider myself, you know, a Rhyme Syndicate, you know, affiliate. So at this point, so, yeah, man, you know, having Ice come and co-sign the show, and like I said, him say that to the world, that was a blessing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Gripster, I don't know if she talked about this with you or not, but I was really surprised because, you know, we ain't heard from her in years, you know, but she was an actress. She was in, like, Dangerous Minds and stuff. But
yep.
She's been a school teacher all this time. I thought that was dope.
Oh, yeah,
to tell.
Special needs. Yeah,
yeah,
she was a special needs school teacher. Yeah, 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 we definitely talked about that. Yeah, Gripster, super, super talented, super dope, great personality, great music, and just a great person, you know what I mean? And like I said, Ice-T's daughter, T, you know, she had us rolling. You know, her energy is off the hook as well. You know what I mean? She is definitely her dad's child. You know what I mean? So I can't wait for people to see that episode as well. But yeah, man, you know, even just the you know, the Rhyme Syndicate family, you know, they've embraced me, and it's all love, man. Again, this is someone, I mean, I'm already no limit, but, you know, to be able to, like I said, just build those bridges and have those relationships with people that you grew up on, man. It's nothing like it.
Amazing, amazing. I remember back in the day when you get a phone call, it would come on your DirecTV, the caller ID would, and I was waiting on Ice for an interview, and he called, and on the TV it says Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, you know, saying it's like, oh shit, what did
yeah.
I do? You know, it was dope as hell, you know, to be able to have those types of experiences. You know, I even put Ice on the phone with my mom, you know, saying, and
yep.
He was nice enough to talk to her. She didn't like his rap. She used to, you know, yell and scream at me for having his tapes blasting. But she's a huge fan of him on TV. He's just such a down-to-earth cat, man.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, that's how you want to be. You know, that's the thing. I think a lot of people sleep on the career that Ice-T has had. You know, the longevity. When you think about it, he's 60, I think 64, and he's still relevant to today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he just won a Grammy, you know, last year for Body Count. You know what I mean? Like, he just got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He's on TV every week, longest running male actor in history. You know what I'm saying? He just had a, you know, I think Chanel is like, what, maybe 7, 8 years old, you know, got a young child. He's able to do fatherhood again. He's able to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, that's the career that you want, to be 64 and still relevant out here, you know, and you still got the young bulls and the young guys like me who still want to talk to you, you know. And I still have those paintings too. I still have them up in my house, you know, because that Power album, that was so, you know, inspirational for me as a kid, you know. Just the whole get down, you know, that, yeah. So I always said whenever I got a big house, man, I'm going to get the Power cover. I'm going to get that shit on my wall in my house. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, that's definitely a classic album right there. But, you know, also, you know, you talk about No Limit, Rhyme Syndicate, but, you know, Bone Thugs,
mm-hmm.
man, you've been cool with them for years.
Yeah.
You know, Busy was one of the first guests you had on the show early on.
Mm-hmm.
And you recently mm-hmm. interviewed Lazy Bone. Man, what was that like, man, chopping it up with him?
Man, that was super cool. You know, again, like I said, someone that I, you know, kind of came up with and grew up on, so to speak. But, you know, yeah, Lay is such a good dude, man. It's really cool to see how he's matured and evolved and grown, you know, over these years, just as a person, as a man, as an artist, as a businessman, you know. And, you know, we have been trying to sit down and do the interview for a second, but just life, you know, life getting in the way. And then his mother passed away last year and different things like that. So, you know, we had conversations offline, just me supporting him and just real conversations, you know. And he was like, man, you know, I really want to come give a real to you. And he did, you know, the interview that we did with Lazy Bone Bro, he was the most, you know, transparent, the most vulnerable that he's ever been, you know, in terms of interviews and in public like that. And he actually, afterwards, he sent me, you know, once he's seen the interview, he was like, man, I appreciate you. You know, he said, I kind of feel vindicated, you know, and just a weight lifted up off of me, just being able to come and do that. And that let me know right there, like, man, you know, this is what I created the platform for, a safe place for us, you know what I'm saying, for us to be, you know, to make us look good and humanize us. And when I looked at the comments, you know, that's exactly what it did. I was seeing comments where people were like, man, sometimes you forget that your idols and your favorite artists are human too, you know what I'm saying. And yeah. That's, you know, that was very intentional on my part. Like I said, I wasn't there to exploit. I'm there, you know, to even share in experiences, because like today, as a matter of fact, today is my mother's birthday. And, you know, my mother passed away 13 years ago. So I was able to give, you know, Lay kind of that, you know, that framework and kind of like, man, you know, this is what it is. And, you know, this is, you know, some coping tools, some tools to cope and deal with that grief and that depression and those things that you go through when you lose a parent. So, so yeah, man, you know, his interview was very, very inspirational. A lot of people love it. A lot of people messaging and engaging with it. And, you know, and me and Lay are talking about doing some other things together. So we actually were on the phone, earlier today for a couple of hours. So yeah, we banging out some other stuff too.
Oh, hell yeah. It's good to hear that, man. Yeah, a very dope interview. I interviewed him about 12 years ago, and I feel terrible. It didn't go the way I wanted it to go.
Mm-hmm.
We were both, let's just say we were both a little inebriated, and things got a little crazy, but I always wanted to rewrite that wrong. We did end it
yeah.
on a positive note, though. We both kind of apologized to each other and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe someday we'll rewrite that and have him back on. But
yeah.
I'm very
yeah.
Happy you got to do that.
Yeah.
But also, you know,
and let me
been,
and let me say this real quick too. Let me say
yeah.
this real quick. You know, Lay has turned, you know, he's turning a corner too. You know what I mean? He's been very open about, you know, some of his transgressions and some of his shortcomings. You know what I mean? So, you know, people forget, man, none of us are perfect. We're all human. You know what I mean? It's just that some of us just have to make our mistakes and do our and bump our head in front of everybody. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think it would be dope for y'all to reconvene. You know what I mean? Because he's definitely in a clear space. You know, some of his personal things are getting worked out, and you know, he's sober. He's, you know, he's definitely bossing up and getting things together. So yeah, that would be dope.
That's good to hear. Yeah, oh yeah, hell yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Another big thing that happened recently, you know, you and Master P was on the BET stage together at the BET Awards show. That had to be an amazing feeling. I mean, I've seen you in a lot of different places. I think you was at the Versus with Bone and 3-6, if I'm not mistaken. But this BET, this is something we all grew up as kids watching, you know, the Rap City, all that stuff, uncut.
Right.
So you were on stage, man, with Master P. What was that like, brother?
You know, that was fun, man. That was cool. That was fun. You know, it was one of them things, man, where, you know, our wires got crossed internally as a team because, you know, we were just supposed to do the performance, you know, and bounce out, but we end up staying for the whole thing and doing the red carpet, and I really wasn't dressed appropriately because I would have bought a suit, you know what I'm saying, but I didn't know we was doing that, but otherwise, no, it was dope, man. It was dope that they recognized my brother and gave him that time to shine. Now, I will be, let me, you know, I'm always going to keep it 100, you know, and I'm not going to speak out of turn, but, you know, congratulations to Busta Rhymes, you know what I mean? I definitely, you know, feel as if he, you know, he deserves all his recognition. He deserves. He's definitely been a pillar in hip hop and super talented guy, you know, and you know, and I'm not saying that he didn't deserve the lifetime achievement, but you know, I can say that I felt a little some kind of way, you know what I mean, that they haven't given one to P yet, you know, because I'm like, okay, you know, P has contributed to the culture, you know, greatly on so many different levels, you know, not even just kind of revolutionizing how the music business was done, but, you know, also just in the records that he sold, the influence, you know, the business acumen and all the other businesses to follow, and his, you know, his philanthropy, you know, him working in the community consistently for so many years, you know what I mean? So So it was kind of like, yeah, it was cool for us to be there. It was fun. We appreciated it. But I'm like, shit, y'all ain't gave that shit to my brother yet. So, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that Busta didn't deserve it. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, you know somebody who's really been a force in the culture. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? So
you
I felt like, yeah, I felt like, you know, P was very deserving of that award, aside from just being there, you know, and having a mention. And I also felt like the West Coast was ill represented. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've been in L.A. 20 years, you know. So I'm like, man, there's no representation of the West because I'm like, you know, I mean, they had, you know, Yo-Yo, they had E-40, they had Warren G, and maybe one or two others, but for the most part, man, it was like there was really no representation for the West Coast. But yeah, it was dope, though. You know what I mean? It was dope being on stage, and we had fun, and the crowd was turned up. I think they was more turned up on social media, really, you know what I mean? Because they didn't expect it, you know, the way P came out with the energy and the way we came out there. And, you know, a lot of people was tagging me and shit, you know, on social media, like, man, I see you, I see you, I see you. So it was cool, man. It was a cool experience. You know, maybe next year, you know, P will get that Lifetime Achievement Award.
He definitely deserves it, you know what I'm saying? He really put a lot of people on, you know, and made it possible for them to feed their family. I look at it like this. If you're able to, at the end of the day, look back at what you've done and say, you know what, I helped feed some families, man, that's a blessing, you know?
Yeah.
Even if shit didn't work out for you the way you thought it would, just to know that you helped put food on other people's tables is something that we never should take for granted. And P has done that for so many people. So shout out to him.
Right.
Before I turn it over to our brother Sinister in France, I want to ask you one more question too. As a father of a daughter, man, that's the biggest blessing in my life. You know, I can't top that. I thought it was so dope to see your daughter working with you, you know what I'm saying, on the podcast, man. That has to be a huge moment as a father to see her do her thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Listen, I say all the time, brother, you know, I've made money I've made, you know, I've had accomplishments in life, and, you know, I've been able to experience all the accoutrements that come with success and all of that. But my biggest, you know, my biggest achievements have been my kids, you know what I'm saying? And the fact that, you know, they're all, you know, went to college, you know, they're all doing well. They're, you know, I raised them right. Nobody had to take no penitentiary chances. They didn't have to go through the things that I had to go through growing up, you know, or have to make some of the choices that I made. So, but yeah, having my oldest daughter, you know, come on, and I knew it would be dope because, you know, she's basically a female version of me. You know what I'm saying? You know, my daughter, she's 30 years old, you know, and I had my daughter young. I had my daughter when I was 16. So, you know, we kind of grew up together more or less. But, you know, I raised her on gangster rap. I raised her on Spice One, NWA, Ice Cube, E-40. You know, I raised her on all of that. So, you know, I knew that she would have something to offer in that space. And then I just wanted to kind of bring in that female perspective and that millennial perspective, yeah, as well, you know, just to kind of throw in some little different energy, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, she does well in that space, and she's excelling, and the fans are loving her, you know what I mean? The people watching are loving her. So yeah, you know, I'm really blessed, and I'm, you know, I'm thankful to be able to have my, you know, my child on there. And I believe we may be the first to do it in a podcast format. I know that D.L. Hughley, he did have his daughter on his radio show at a time, but I think me and my daughter may be the first, at least in this space, in our culture, to the first daddy-daughter, you know, to do the podcast thing together. So, yeah, you know, it was dope, you know what I mean? And I'm proud of her every time that I go back and I watch the podcast, and I'm just – and you want me to tell you what I'm really proud of? I'm proud that, you know, and me and her mother, you know, that's how we raised her. Her mother had a big hand in her becoming the woman that she is. But, you know, I'm just happy I didn't raise a hot girl, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I didn't raise a city girl. You know, she not on there, you know, showing her body. She knows how to articulate. She can talk. She's educated. But she also, you know, knows the streets because I exposed her to the streets. I taught her about the streets. So, you know, she's not on there, you know, just, yes, bitch, and, you know, all the hoochie mama shit, you know what I mean? So I love the fact of that she's very insightful and she's well-spoken and, you know, she has something to say and something to offer. So I'm a proud dad when I go back and look at the content like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, shout out to her. You know, that's very dope to be able to do that. We're going to bring on the homie DJ Lord Cynics of the French Connection. He's going to ask you, I know he's going to ask you some questions back from the hip-hop days when you was spitting them flames. You know what I'm saying? Sin, you there, brother?
Hello.
Yeah, yes, there we go. We got him.
Nice. Yes, sir. Hi, it's because of French Connection here. And hi, big coach, I'm Dari.
Come down. I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good already, brother.
Good.
Can I talk about this song, Back the Day, with Busy Bone, of course, for show, on your classic album, Kansas City Chief, and the combination with him on this album?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was on the Kansas City Chief album.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, how did you connect with him and, yeah, you know what I'm saying, what was the concept of that song?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, the connection was bad. excuse me. So, yeah, I got hooked up with Busy in, like, 2001, I believe. And it was during the time he was being managed by Rick Robinson. Rest in peace to Rick Robinson. Rick was a Double R, was a, you know, old retired gangster from Chicago living up in Milwaukee. And at the time he was managing Busy, Cuckoo Cow, Bushwick, and a couple other people. And what it was Rick was trying to put together like a super group, kind of somewhat, I'm going to say somewhat in the vein of a Bone Thugs and Harmony, and they called it Mob Life. So it was supposed to be me, Busy, Cuckoo Cow, and a couple other cats. I can't remember some of the other cats. I think one of them was from Seven Signs, but that's how I first came into contact with Busy back then, you know what I'm saying? And we just built from there, and we got in the studio and did the song for show. And as far as the song, how the song came about, I can't remember who did the beat. I can't remember, because you got to remember, this is like 22 years ago. And Busy came up with, he just did the hook, you know, he just came up with the hook, and we just kind of took it from there, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, a couple years later, he came back and he did the song for my Still Here soundtrack. And that, because each song that we did, we recorded together. We was in the studio together, you know, which was cool. That was, you know, that was definitely an experience to see Busy work and see him do his thing in person. But yeah, that's how that song came about back then. And to this day, people still jam that shit, you know.
That's a dope song. Can I tell us a little about your song, Wrong, or Get Not At All, from your classic album, Play It Wrong? And it was, of course, reviewed by Scott and Metal Dog back in the day. So can you tell us about this song, the concept album back in the day also?
Mm-hmm. What? Say it again. What did he say?
This song, Wrong, or Get Not At All.
Okay,
it was
yes.
Dope, so can you tell us about this one?
Roller, you said the song Roller Get Rolled Over?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did that on Pullin' Rank. And the concept, that was just something I used to say back in the day. You know, I used to just, you know, it's that gangster rap attitude. It's that hip-hop shit. You know, it was just like I used to tell people, like, shit, you just roll to get rolled over, you know. And that was just, you know, young and exuberant and you know, full of all of that bravado and that gangster shit. And I think I was still in Kansas City at the time when I did Roller Get Rolled Over. So that was just me in my, little bubble in my zone, you know, and that was my attitude, you know, back then, just basically shit, if you ain't what I'm on, then shit, get from around me, get away from me. So that was the energy behind that song. And you know, that pivotal moment in my life, because, you know, that was my first solo album. And, you know, Cisco, which is, you know, my partner in CCG, he had produced that album, that Pullin' Rank album. And, you know, that was really big for me to step to the front and do a solo album and to be the first one in CCG to do a solo album, because, you know, for many years, Cisco was the creative force behind our group. You know, he did all the beats. He conceptualized the songs. He, you know, came up with the choruses. I just basically did my verse and followed him, you know, creatively. And in the meantime, I was, you know, I was the business guy. You know, I was the guy that was, you know, handling our careers, and he was the creative behind the scenes. So for me to step out and do a solo album, you know, with Pullin' Rank in 1998, 1999, that was a big leap for me and developing that confidence to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty
wrong
to review my
thoughts and Murder Dog. Murder Dog showed me a lot of love back then.
Right. I just showed up to Masculine 7 or some Don Juan, Herbal Town, which is a factor of all the groups, and you, of course. It was a tool. Also, from your group, SG, on a 100 person game. Can I do this one? I was supposed to say, City, KC.
You there, Scott? Can you hear me?
No, I heard him.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. The signal, yeah,
I heard
it's
you.
Kind of going in and out.
Yeah, you were asking about the song Dipping Through My City from the CCG album 100% Game. Man, what was the concept, everything about that song?
Oh, Dipping Through My City. Oh, man, yeah. You bring it back memories with that. Dipping Through My City, that's Cisco, man. You know, that was Cisco. Wow. That was, he, you know, that was really us. Because, you know, back in the day, back in the 90s, you know, the mute, the temperature was that of representing your soil, representing your city, and basically if somebody from, you know, Houston or somebody from L.A. wanted to know what it was like in Kansas City, then we paint that picture, you know, because back then everything was trunk music. It was riding music. It was shit that you could, you know, hop in your load, hop in your whip, and, you know, you got your Dayton shined up, you got your beat in your car, and you're going down whatever respective strip that's in your city, you know. So that was what Dipping Through My City was about. It was basically us really just, you know, putting a stamp on where we from, Kansas City, Missouri. And if somebody from out of town wanted to know how we got down with the Daytons and Vogues and the Candy Paint, and, you know, you got the gang element, you know, we naming off our streets and our strips and our culture and our slang, our lingo. That's really what Dipping Through My City was, man. It was a hot summer day, you know, just going through Kansas City, trying not to get shot or trying not to shoot nobody else, you know. So, yeah, Dipping Through My City, you brought back memories with that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Classic one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you tell us also about the old set of Kansas City? I think about groups like Swell L or 57 Street Rock Dog Billions or Survival Techniques, Stereotype Buster, you know, that type of era, old school era. Even Val McCarty was from KC, that's what it said. Can you tell us about the old school hip hop Kansas City and on which group you grew up on that time?
Yeah, you know, that was the golden era, you know, for me back then, because it wasn't as saturated, you know, it wasn't a whole lot of us doing our thing, you know
right.
what I mean? So you really had to, and then it's before social media, so you really had to be about what you were talking about. You really had to want to do it, and, you know, because it was harder to get attention and get recognized, you know, and it was way more expensive as well. So when you had people like Swell L, you know, Swell L was from down north. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember you said the Stereotype Buster and all of them. Like, I do remember those guys. But I came up on, in terms of the groups before me in the city, was mainly like Pure Dope. Pure Dope, I remember seeing them when I might have been in middle school or something like that. And knowing that they were from the city, that inspired me just to see their face on the tape and where they even took the picture was from. You know, it was like, damn, they right here in the city. Also, Southside Posse and Money G. Of course, Vel Bacardi. You know, seeing Vel Bacardi on MTV Raps, because he was the first rapper from KC to get a major deal. You know, so he had signed with Rick Rubin in Def America. And so he did I think it was called Genuine Liquor Hits. And seeing him on Yo MTV Raps, you know, that was like real inspiring. yeah, that was super inspiring, especially because he was, you know, Vel Bacardi. Kansas City's not that big, but, you know, we all from different hoods. But, you know, Vel Bacardi was from 39, which is not far from where the neighborhood I'm from, which I'm from the 4 block. But 39 and the 40s, like, they literally not that far from each other. So, you know. Yeah, that was the golden era, man. And I think that we all pushed each other. We all pushed each other to, you know, do better and try to put the city on the map. And it was healthy competition back then. You know, back then, you know, we wasn't, you know, even if rappers didn't get along, it was more about, it wasn't really rooted in street shit. It was just really about, okay, shit, I'm better than you. You know what I mean? My music better than yours. My shit harder than yours. But it wasn't where, you know, niggas was like trying to kill each other and funk over no street shit. Nah, we kept the street shit in the street. You know, it was just about music back then.
Yeah. So
friendly competition.
Yeah, it was always friendly competition, absolutely.
So well, let Joel say rest in peace. For the end for I made a selected songs underground mix, 79 Kansas City mix. All these groups, it's on your shares for life. So I would dedicate this your city because you have great groups.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we definitely we have a lot of talent down there back then and even now. You know, even now we still, you know, I listen to a lot of the youngsters. I mean, you know, we got people down there like Rob Lowe, the Star. She's a female rapper down there, and she's doing her thing. She's worked with Tech N9ne. We got Dewey the Don. We got C-Dub, the Young Blood. Of course, we got Young Cat. You know, it's a lot of talent down there, even, you know, like new guys, you know what I'm saying? And it's a lot that I don't know because, you know, I ain't lived there for 20 years, but I still stay tapped in for those that are really working, you know, that's really putting in the work. And even Two Times, you know what I mean? We got an artist down there called Two Times who's dope as hell as well. So, but yeah, back in our era, man, it was just everybody was chasing the dream. You know, that was what was so fun about it is the fact that, you know, very few of us got a chance to really see the business and really get in the business. When you talk about, like, you know, us signing to No Limit, you had Mass 187, you had them go to Houston and hook up with Troy, Lil Troy. You had, you know, Tech at the time, you know, he was dealing with Perspective Records with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. And then you had Vel Bacardi, who was dealing with Def America with Rick Rubin. So, see, it wasn't that many of us that actually kind of really made it to a level in the business. You know what I'm saying? So everybody was chasing the dream. Everybody was chasing the dream. It wasn't even about – I can't even say that it was really motivated by money back then. You know, everybody just wanted to put the city on the map, and everybody just wanted the dream – of, man, my shit's dope. I want the world to hear it. I want the world to see it, and I want everybody to know about KC. That was the motivation back then.
Right.
Yeah, KC, yeah, we did the Murder Dog compilation. We did the cover feature.
Right.
We knew there was talent there, you know what I'm saying, a long time ago. And, you know, shout out to all the people you mentioned, man. Vel Bacardi, that Genuine Lick of Hits had AMG on the production and classic.
Yep.
You know, thank you, Brother Sim, for your questions. I want to thank you, Ben,
not only
for coming back on the show again, but a few months ago, the homie Chad Kaiser did a piece on me for my, you know, I'm celebrating my 25th year in this. And, man, you made a post about it and said some really nice words about me. And I can't thank you enough, man. That meant a lot, you know.
Oh, for
I
sure,
really appreciate
brother.
It.
And it's real. Yeah, for sure. You deserve it. And it's genuine. You know what I mean? Like, you've been in this media space a long time, brother, a long time. Far, far, far before I even thought about stepping into it. You know what I mean? And you've always been very gracious and, you know, very supportive for me through every turn of my career, you know, because you got to think you've been, you know, interviewing me or you know, reviewing my work since, what, the 90s, the late 90s, you know, and here we are, you know, blessed enough to still be alive and still be healthy and still with sane mind and still in the culture doing what we want to do. And so, yeah, that's deserved, you know. You spend a lot of your time, you know, interviewing legends and giving them their flowers. So, you know, it's only right that the culture reciprocates and give them yours. You know what I'm saying? So you shined a lot of light on us over the years. You know, some of us, it wasn't easy for us to get interviews back in the day. You know what I'm saying? But you was the one that gave a voice to the people overlooked, to the people that were bubbling right below the surface. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you never played that Hollywood shit. So that definitely has to be highlighted and acknowledged, you know. So, yeah, that was real shit.
And thanks again, brother. And congratulations on everything that's going on right now and everything that's going to be going on in the future with the Holding Court podcast. I want to give you the floor, man. Let them know where to go and how they can support. And, man, thanks again. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure, brother. Yeah, you can follow me at I Am Big Court on IG, follow the Holding Court podcast. Of course, subscribe, like, and comment to the YouTube channel, Holding Court Podcast. You can check me out on Tubi. And most importantly, you know, you can go to Revolt Podcast Network and you can listen, you can stream the whole episodes, even when the clips come out on YouTube. The audio side is available on all streaming platforms. And, you know, check me out on Voodoo or Freebie, whatever, you know, wherever you stream your content as well. So, yeah, that's what I got cracking right now, brother. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, can you hear
me? Yeah, I got you now.
Yeah, I got to go back. I got knocked offline, but yeah, sorry about that. But no, I just
that's
wanted to give you the floor so you can let everybody know what's going on with Holding Court and where they can go and support the platform.
Yeah, for sure. Follow me at I Am Big Court on IG. Follow the Holding Court podcast, just HOLDIN podcast on IG as well. Subscribe, like, and comment to the Holding Court podcast on YouTube, and check me out on Tubi. You can, you know, wherever you stream your content, Freebie, Voodoo, all of that, wherever you see Revolt Podcast Network available there. And also you can listen to the full audio versions on all platforms, and you can go to Revolt Podcast Network. And be looking out. I got a movie coming out called Dating COVID. It's a romantic dramedy that I co-star in with Travis Cure, Jasmine Lewis, and a few other people. So it'll be out this summer. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Definitely, man. Thanks again, brother. We'll catch up with you real soon. And shout out to the homie Shin. I appreciate all our listeners, you know what I'm saying? And again, please support the Holding Court podcast. You know what I'm saying, everything that Big Court's doing right now. We're going to get out of here. This is a classic, man. This is an old one, man. It's from 99, Holding Court, you know what I'm saying. This is from the Pull and Rank album, Kill 'Em Up, man. This is back when he was Court Dog, before he was Big Court. It's an honor to review this album. Check this song out. Classic. Don't forget that man, he kicked the roof. Niggas on the second ladder, drinking from a nigga. Kill a bitch, run away, you know we do. Bad in pockets, we taking the keys, we off into the crib. Close to the door, set the phone up on the wall, making everybody fall. Like the one room, baby, time up with the phone call. When we hit the safe, then we leaving. Stay calm and everybody stay breathing. For a dog, he loved the kids, so the fuck with me. And I see them even leaving. Ain't no rules in this game, especially for the opposition. Every time I tell for the distance, listen, I'ma get out on a mission. I'ma kill it with a mission, don't switch my bitch to listen. Till the truest shit ever broke, and your hoes wanna know why I'm never broke. Got a 12-day slump and a level. Niggas just get it how we know. Ain't no bitch in my blood. 816 don't free no hoes. You talk about some niggas with some trigger fingers. If your daddy get it wrong, you won't breathe no more. Bitches with a fool who's fucked up, I up even just to get a rush. If anybody see it, they ain't wanna say it. They don't wanna be a bitch, so they gonna keep it hush hush. Nigga, what the? If anybody quit talking, nigga. If you wanna back up, I'll start walking, nigga. Bitch, you with it, go watch start talking, nigga. I'm an expert when it comes to talking, nigga. That's just for the killers, the murderers, the legal in your face. Wanna hold a nigga, blow out his brain. Tapping at a doctor's angle, okay? That's just for the killers. Come on, nigga, if you want me, come and get me. I'ma kill the gorilla, nigga, be ready to die. Niggas thinking that I might be bad, stripping all the baby bitches, knowing that I'm all gonna be lying. But I shoot it up with the trap, don't need to watch with y'all. That's the dance of the dog, because the situation at hand. Got a kick in the step in the ass, open up, you more mad, don't shake it. If you get the last dance, I'll be calling them dubs, hanging with the dubs. You don't wanna bang, I'm just playing them dubs. Every set they get repeated, then it must be distracted. Have me handled with the deadly below. I'm the mother, I'm the show, you stand for the murder race. The ties of rap blues, I ain't aware.
Keep my name in that motherfucking mouth. Okay. love with the whole punk. Me and little girl dreams of a trade of connections. Grab this like a buddy for the murder show. My demo, motherfucker for show. Behind my bro, everybody gets chopped up with the foe. Nigga pick up at the ground with the info. Them yo, light, intense kill, real intentions. Got motherfuckers thinking the fast way to avoid prison. Thinking that we do the yo gang. Grab motherfuckers behind the studio, head on the go. And it's still KG3K hoes. Run up on the south side of my 2-4. Deep in the snow. Running yo map, get the motherfucker tatted with the automatic. Aggravated motherfuckers on the other side of the habit. Had it when I spotted no bitch crossing through the traffic. But I got the same automatic, like a Kelly hanging at the passenger side. My homicide and my mind gun. One of them most notorious killing my blood and gun. Really put up on the rhyme.
This is for the killers, the murderers. Slinging his knife, one of the nigga blow out his brain. Seven and a half.